So today we are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. But I would like to read the whole first chapter again to set the context. And our focus is going to be on the blessings that we have received in Christ. I've given you several handouts today to help bring these truths home. And there's further explanation for you with those notes so that you can be able to follow along with me. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And the prayer that I have been praying, that I didn't pray specifically this morning, is the prayer that Paul prays, that he may give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, and have our eyes, the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know what is the hope to which he has called us. That is my prayer. So even as we look at that sheer rock face that Alex Honnold is climbing, we, with our human eyes, cannot see the holds that he has and how he has managed to scale that 3,000-foot rock face and to be able to do it with the assurance, unless some strange act of nature took place, that he would not fall to his death because of what he knew, what he practiced, what he believed, and where he kept his focus. Because one of the things that sets Alex Honnold apart is his ability to keep his focus and not give in to fear. There are many rock climbers out there that would be stronger than Alex Honnold, or maybe even more nimble and agile. Well, I don't know after the El Capitan climb if there's any more nimble or agile than him at this point, because he spent 1 year doing one stretch so that he can do one move on that wall to be able to successfully climb that wall. And his practice and practice and practice of going up and down that wall and checking out each hold and each move and each place, he tested that. In fact, even had a friend of his, some of you may be aware of, whose name all of a sudden is escaping me, what's his name? Conrad Anker. Okay. You know, Conrad Anker, who has summited the Everest who knows how many times, went with him up that wall to really look to make sure there wasn't any loose rock, that anything that might give way when he put his hand on it as he ascended to the summit. So this is interesting to me. All of it is fascinating to me as I think about the truths that we have been given and how often we will put our hand or hold on something that isn't fully true, isn't solid, isn't really firm. It's not the Word of God. We will hold fast to things that maybe we picked up along the way, or ways that we have thought, or conclusions we have drawn in our lifetime. Oh my goodness, we can draw so many conclusions, particularly when we have been in circumstances of trauma or otherwise, even positive things. We can draw conclusions that are not truth. And what we want to do as we enter into this book of Ephesians, of really coming to understand what Paul is saying, he opens Ephesians with a praise because he is overcome, but also he wants the Ephesians to be overcome with the same truths that he understands, that they might really want to know who they are in Christ. And as I was thinking about this in your lesson, I was talking about the black water and how, think about how murky and filthy black, muddy water is. As I'm thinking about this, the mind, our mind that still has remaining sin, has an effect on us. And as I was talking about how one of the things that makes Alex Honnold notable is his mind over the matter, his ability to keep his focus and not fear, and how difficult it is in our mind with remaining sin. It's very murky. There's the fog of sin. And therefore, it's difficult for us to see the truth for what it is. Just as if we looked at the rock face, we wouldn't even be able to see the holds that Alex sees, because he has become proficient at really looking and observing and understanding. So in our circumstances, let me think, have you think with me, that when we have this black water of sin that still remains, and as we know that the Holy Spirit helps purify our thinking, as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we are able to gain better, clearer vision to see the truth for what it is. But what happens often is that we only look at this truth from a distance. We do not really exercise the effort, the work, our muscles to really apprehend that truth, to give it something more than merely mental assent. And there's no way that Alex Honnold could climb that sheer rock face if all he was doing was looking and examining these holds. He has to practice and practice and practice, and he does so with a rope over and over again for years to practice getting a really firm grip, to come to have a great knowledge and understanding, a working knowledge and understanding of those holds. So we want to do the same, to work through that murky, dark water of sin, you know, that's in our minds, by fixing our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ and working out our salvation, so that we can, through God's word, through the washing of the water of the word, that we can really see the truth for what it is. And we want to go beyond that. We want to be blessed beyond just near a mental belief. We want it to be a belief in which we live that which we believe, which is true belief. So if you take a look at your other handout there, we are going to walk through the truths that Paul praises God for. And those truths are like those holds that you see on that rock wall. You can see those holds, and the one even on the lower portion of the paper is some of the type of technical work as people even learn to defy gravity, so to speak, and almost even go upside down as they climb a wall. So, therefore, what we're going to do is let's look and really think through what our main idea is today. Really get a handle on the main idea, which is that we need to diligently develop a firm and faithful, grace-filled grasp of the spiritual blessings that we have been given in Christ. So what is the main idea? We need to diligently develop a firm and faithful, grace-filled grasp of the spiritual blessings we have been given in Christ. Because it is then, and only then, we're able to ascend to the summit of living who we are in Christ. So I'll go over that again, because it's big. It's a big idea. It's a very big idea. We need to diligently develop a firm, faithful, grace-filled grasp of the spiritual blessings we have been given in Christ. It is then, and only then, that we are able to ascend to the summit of living who we are in Christ. Let me just qualify that. I'm not implying that we somehow arrive. That is not the point. Actually, what happens is it brings us to the point where we're really able to walk out and live according to the gospel that we have been given. We, at that point, are able to really move forward and walk and live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Think with me. Look at Alex Honnold. Watching him climb that rock face proves, does it not, that his mind is over the matter, that he demonstrates by the very feat of climbing that rock face that he has worked to understand and know, and he has become proficient at that work that he has done. And so the illustration goes only so far, in the sense that Alex Honnold is not a Christian. And really, this is where the rub really comes. I find this happening all the time. People think, because I'm a Christian and I have grace, I don't need to work. I don't need to work at this. I got the general idea. And they stay quite a distance from the truth. And then they live some sort of a hybrid, so to speak, of earthly living and godly living, because there's this mix of the human way along with God's way. And virtually what happens is people work to clean up what they're doing and get to the point where they're maybe proficient at getting through their day. They find a way to get through their day versus really ascend to the summit of living in the glory of the gospel and being a vessel of the glory of the gospel and displaying the glory of the gospel, which for all intents and purposes appears as impossible as Alex Honnold climbing that sheer rock face. We need to pursue, press hard, and practice to fully grasp these spiritual blessings in our heads and in our hearts. So let me give you another illustration. Alex, when interviewed, will say this: when I am planning on doing something challenging, I spend the time visualizing what the experience will feel like and what the individual sections of a climb will be like and what it'll feel like. In other words, he envisions the trials and the difficulties and the tribulations that are to come, puts himself in those circumstances, and then seeks to problem solve and think through all of that before he gets in that moment. It's not unlike when the young lady is about ready to start driving and her father says to her, "I definitely would like to be there to change your tire if you ever get a flat. But there might be a time when you get a flat tire and no one is around, and I want to walk through with you and spend the time teaching you how to change that flat tire before you find yourself in that situation." So, interestingly enough, astronauts and surgeons do the same thing. This is how they make it through some of their toughest points. Some of Alex Honnold's poise, writes National Geographic, is attributed to his detailed preparation. He's obsessive about his training, which includes hour-long sessions every other day, hanging by his fingertips and doing one and two and three arm, well, he can't do a three-arm pull-up. One and two-arm pull-ups on this apparatus that's in his van. He spends hours perfecting, rehearsing, and memorizing exact sequences of hand and foot placements for every key pitch. He's an inveterate note taker, logging his workouts and evaluating his performance on every climb in a detailed journal. On the climb up El Capitan, there are 30 sections or pitches that are challenging. And it's so difficult that even in the last few years, it was noted that it was very difficult even for a climber to summit it using ropes. So no one has ever done it free solo, which is without ropes. But that is what Alex Honnold did. So he became that proficient that he would climb that rock face without any ropes. 3,000 feet, which is taller than one of my favorite buildings in the world, the Burj Khalifa. It's basically a half of a mile up on that rock face. So, all that to say, he has worked and worked over the course of 20 years to learn how to gain control and remain focused over his fear. So why am I going into depth like this? Because I believe that when given the grace that we have been given, that we would want to become proficient with the truth that God has given to us and to become proficient by God's grace, to live according to God's grace. So I have 3 points here today that we're going to walk through. The first point is that this opening section, which you've heard me say over and over again, I just want you to hear it maybe even more specifically this morning, that this opening is Paul's praise to God. It is a genuine outpouring of his heart. Genuine. Because he is able to see what God has done and who God is and what he's done for him in Christ. But it is also an example to us. This is an example of how we are to think. Paul is living how he would want us to live. He is setting that example. He is going before us. But it is also one more thing, and that is, importantly, it's an instruction. It is an instruction to the Ephesians and to us. He's encouraging, imploring the Ephesians to cause them to see and comprehend fully what God has done for them in Christ, that they might respond by magnifying and glorifying God, who is worthy of their adoration. So the first point is that this opening praise literally is an instruction of Paul's and an urging, hoping that the Ephesians and we would live accordingly. Paul's praise to God is an instruction and an urging. And the second point that I'd like to go through, speak of, is that we need to stop, count our blessings, and consider them fully, that we might comprehend them fully. We want to stop and count our blessings, consider them fully, that we might comprehend them fully. And then the last, third point is that we do not, we do not want merely mental assent, A-S-S-E-N-T, but we want to have mental assent, A-S-C-E-N-T. And the side is that we have to really apprehend and apply what we've been taught, what we've been given, in order to have mental assent, A-S-C-E-N-T. And I'll go over that here in a moment. But this first point is a simple one and doesn't take a lot of explaining. However, it takes a moment to really think about it, to understand it, which is, if Paul is an example of how we are to live, we want to take a moment and look at that and say to ourselves, that is our goal. That is our goal. And that is what we want to have overflowing from our hearts moment by moment throughout the day. That is the goal. And if we know our theology well, there's not anything that the Lord asks us to do that we are not capable of doing by God's grace. So if your life and your mind and your heart are not reflecting what Paul is reflecting here, we need to and know that there is an adjustment that needs to be made. Not to say that you won't encounter difficulty, but the very way that you would encounter difficulty would be with these very clear truths. Does that make sense? So if Alex Honnold were an example, you know, theoretically, if we were all going to be solo climbers, we would look at Alex Honnold and think this is what we should aim for, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you should aim for free soloing El Capitan. I am speaking to you that Paul is really urging and imploring you and me to stop and look at these truths, to really know that this is how we are to live. This is to be the overflow of our life. This is to be the response to our circumstances. This is how we are to think. This is the standard. This isn't for the uber holy saint. Remember, we talked about it. This isn't for the uber holy saint. This is for you and for me. And because of what we've been given, it's possible. So that when we have that understanding, we will respond by magnifying, glorifying God. So then the second point, to stop and count our blessings and to consider our blessings in Christ that we might fully comprehend them. I think that the illustration that I've given to you is a helpful one. If we spent the next 6 months studying free solo climbing and then watched the movie of Alex Honnold, Free Solo, El Capitan, we would understand, we would see the holds. We would see and understand the pitches. We would be able to have some comprehension of how he was able to do that climb. Does that make sense? Because we would have studied it. We would have taken time and learned just even the physics of it, like, and what's required of someone to be able to accomplish such a feat. So if it's true about that, this is true of us. We have been given something far greater than El Capitan, and we've been given the grace. We have been given all that we need. In fact, Paul says, every spiritual blessing in Christ to be able to live what we've been given so that we can begin to have a handle on it. I thought about this just a little bit for myself. Sometimes one of the issues we have is we take our salvation and these blessings for granted. We just read by them. We sing them in church on Sunday. We will say a quick prayer, but we're not really thinking about what they are, and we're not really seeing what we've been given. It's almost as if we were someone who had been adopted at such a young age and then didn't really know where they had been rescued from, and they live in a very plush lifestyle, and this is just the way it is, and this is what they deserved. Somehow they lose sight. You lose sight of what you've been given. I'll never forget my mom picking up a stray that was around the church. It was a German shepherd, and it was so scrawny, and, you know, one would be maybe a little concerned about a German shepherd that is roaming wild. She was just almost just bones. I mean, skin and bones. But when my mom brought her home and gave her a bowl of food, she was so thankful. She was so grateful for this warm home and this love and this care, that Heidi never forgot all the years that she lived in our home. Heidi never, ever forgot what my mom did and how she had rescued her from death, basically. But I think, I do not think we live that way. In fact, I think, and I'll say this of myself as well, I think when we're having a hard time understanding, which I've heard from many of the ladies, like, I'm having a hard time understanding what are these spiritual blessings that I have in Christ. Because honestly, ladies, they're right in front of you. Just like the holds are right there in front of us on that El Capitan wall. But if we stood there, we couldn't see them because we don't understand. We do not comprehend. We are blinded because of the fog of sin in our hearts and because of our orientation of taking our salvation for granted. And also, I will say, you have to really believe that they're blessings. If an old uncle, you know, great uncle left you an inheritance, and you maybe didn't think a whole lot of that old uncle, and there was some account, you know, in Switzerland and it's there, but you never really take time to investigate it, because you just think he's a quack and what on earth. I mean, I had an uncle like that, and I mean, I loved him and cared for him, but his life was definitely upside down. And so he's, you know, telling you that you have this inheritance in Switzerland, and you're thinking, whatever. Only till one day to find there's $2.5 million in that Swiss bank account, and you had a daughter who had been accepted, given a partial scholarship to this wonderful college, but you looked and you thought, I can't do this, we don't have the money. And never take the time to really look at what you do have. We have been given this great inheritance and these spiritual blessings, and we never take the time to look. It seems ridiculous what I say to you about the bank account, because we're so earthly minded. You should feel a little busted right now. Because if anybody's given a monetary gift, there are few people that would not take the time to check it out. But ladies, we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ, and I would venture to say, myself included, we really haven't plumbed the depths of this, nor have we really taken time to comprehend them fully so that we really can apprehend them, so we can really hold on to them. So we live in a short-sighted way. And I had the opportunity of witnessing that this past week. Our son called and said that his girlfriend had broken up with him, and he was heartbroken. Our son's very diligent, very, very hard worker, and takes his responsibilities very seriously. He's a man of his word. And he was telling hopefully his bride-to-be, that he had to work in order to get his company established, in order that he might be able to adequately and properly provide for a wife and for a family. He was very diligent and very dedicated and wise. But the young lady was impatient, because she wanted what she wanted right now, and couldn't even hear the promise that he was making to her, couldn't even see the evidence of the character, because she was so short-sighted. All she could see is he didn't come home at 5, and he wasn't willing or able to hang out with her every day. She couldn't have what she thought. Think about how we are that way, how we think life ought to be here on earth, the circumstances and what they ought to look like, and then when they do not look like we think they ought to look or how they ought to be, we lose hope and faith and trust in God, and then do not live according to the promises that we've been given. And she gave up and walked away from one of the sweetest gifts because she was short-sighted. I'm spending too much time, and I really want to move forward so we can get to the full understanding of all this. But let's walk through and think about these truths that we can hold on to, these truths that we want to firmly grasp. And so I ask that you would look with me on your handout with the list of the truths that we want to grasp, that we want to hold firmly to understand, to comprehend. Number one is that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Like, we want to get a hold on that firmly and believe that we've been given every spiritual blessing. Isn't that mind-boggling? That we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And how many mornings do you wake up, do I wake up, feeling like we don't have what we need? Our day's going south. And yet the Bible tells us we've been given every spiritual blessing. And somehow we feel like we need something more, like financial security or success in our job, or peace in our marriage, or, you know, great fun, whatever it is, for people to like us, for no one to say an offensive word, you know. Number two, we have been chosen by God. We've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Chosen by Him. So this is fascinating to me, because so many people will say, well, this doesn't really mean that God chose you, because, you know, God did choose Israel and they were His chosen people, right? But if you look, Ephesians is written primarily to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. Ephesians is written primarily to the Gentiles in Ephesus, the Jews as well, but primarily the Gentiles, and you will see that. And Paul is saying that one of our spiritual blessings is that we have been chosen by God, not just for to be the bride of Christ corporately, but you have been chosen as part of the bride of Christ corporately. But the spiritual blessing and the truth is that you specifically have been chosen by God. And hear me when I say this, it is critical. Not because of anything that you did or anything that anybody else did. Otherwise, it takes away from the fact that you were chosen because God delighted in you. You. And cherished you and treasured you. Because He loved you. And just like He says that He loved and chose Israel, it wasn't because Israel was the best on the planet at the time. In fact, the very opposite of that. So you were chosen with this unconditional love and not based upon anything of your own doing. And it's critical that you understand that, because this is where we begin to fall off the wall as we think we've done something wrong or we're not good enough. You've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, before God ever created the heavens and the earth. You were chosen. And I know that this brings up the challenge of why you and not others. Ladies, we need to be so careful. We need to be very, very careful, because we don't always fully understand all these things, but we need to know, and we'll talk about this more even in our small group time, but our focus, we want to focus not on what we humanly think. So see that? The minute that you start thinking, why this, why that, you're immediately taking your sight off of the blessing. And if you were Alex Honnold, you're taking your eyes off of what you're doing and looking down. Follow me? We are weak. We need to keep our eyes where they belong and trust that God is good. And if we're going to take issue with Him, let me just say this as an aside, take issue with the fact that He let the serpent go into the Garden of Eden. He let sin come into the world. So go to the first point if you really want to take issue with Him. But besides that, keep your eyes where you ought to go. Number three, that He has made you holy and blameless in Christ. You are holy and blameless. This is a tremendous spiritual blessing, because you were anything but holy and blameless. You are holy and blameless. And then we know, according to God's word, that because you are holy and blameless in Christ, that we are to be holy and blameless. You have been adopted. And I love the wording that you have been adopted. You are chosen. God predestined us for adoption to himself. It may not be written there in your notes, but that's what it says in God's word, that you have been chosen for, predestined for adoption to himself. So he comes, and this really impacts me. When I am feeling like I have failed, or my heart is breaking over circumstances I do not understand, when I am feeling angry or anxious or any such thing, when I take this truth to heart, that God predestined me for adoption to himself, I see him gathering me up in his arms and pulling me up to himself and rescuing me from where I would go away from him. And he has done that and continues to do that. And he made you a part of his family. His forever family, being adopted, was even more significant in the Old Testament. If you adopted a child, you could never disown them. If they were of your natural birth, you could disown them, but the adopted was never allowed to be disowned. You also were redeemed. You have redemption through the blood of Christ. Ponder these things. You have forgiveness through Christ, life, death, burial, and resurrection. He died in your place that you might not be receiving the punishment that you deserve, but that you would be forgiven and all of your sin placed upon him. The next spiritual blessing is the knowledge of God's plan to sum up all things in Christ, that as we walk through this scary, bizarre, sinful, hateful, dark world, we have the knowledge that of God's plan to sum up all things in Christ, and that he holds all things together in Christ. When everything's falling apart, we have the knowledge that it's not, even though it feels like it. That's an incredible spiritual blessing. That if we really had a good firm hold on this, there would be nothing that would rock the ship. We have an eternal inheritance in Christ that has been given now and a promise for the future. So that 2.5 million, that's basically, you know, maybe close to what your part now is, as I say in jest, but your spiritual inheritance is without end. There's no limit to the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of what we have been given. And then you have the Holy Spirit. What on earth? What on earth has happened? God has given you himself in you. The person of the Holy Spirit is in you and dwells in you. You are never alone. He is your guarantee of your inheritance, and also he's the application of that inheritance. And you have the hope of glory, that you one day will be resurrected just like Jesus. So with all these truths firmly held in your heart and mind, then able then to walk forward in them. Think about that. If you've got a firm grip on those things, then you are going to know and be able to see and recognize when people are thinking worldly thoughts. You're going to know when your flesh is rising up. You're going to be able to see the gravity of your sin, because the flesh responds to gravity. It's earthy. It's earthbound. It's the one that's the pull that you're going to feel, which is why I want to close now on our last point. Because mere mental ascent, A-S-S-E-N-T, is going to fall prey to gravity when you are in your trial and tribulation, when you're walking this out. That's why we cannot live in a manner worthy of the gospel when we have merely mental assent. And mental assent isn't any shabby thing. It means that you have really considered, pondered, and said, yes, I agree to something. That's what's happening in churches all around the United States today. People sing, don't they? Their tears just pour down their face. Their arms are raised up high. Meanwhile, even the pastors in those churches fall prey to sin. Why? We hear in the papers, in the media, of men who've been sexually abusive or who have had affairs. Men, the percentage of pastors that are regularly struggling with pornography is phenomenal. Because there's mental assent. You know, they could pass their exam. They could preach a sermon. They've got it down. They're proficient with the thinking, but not with the living. So we have to apprehend those truths, really work them out, work on them. And I say that I wonder how many, you know, just struggle with this idea. Well, we don't, you know, our faith isn't a works-based faith. Right? But James tells us, I will show you my faith by my works. Not that he's saying that his faith was earned by his works, but he will demonstrate his faith by his works. I.e., Alex Honnold demonstrates his faith, you know, his faith in what he does by ascending El Capitan without falling. The Bible says even a young man, a young boy, is known by his deeds. Here's a familiar phrase. Our actions speak louder than words. Someone will say, I love you, but then when push comes to shove, they choose to give in to their laziness. They choose to procrastinate. They choose to get angry. They choose to not fulfill a promise. They don't keep their word. They're deceiving themselves. People deceive themselves all the time. We want to ascend to the summit of a mountain with the solid grasp of the truths and true application in the heart, in the mind, and in the life. Actions speak louder than words. Attitudes speak louder than words. Emotions speak louder than words, ladies. We want to live Christ and apply the truth. So the contrast, the opposite of the gravitational pull of the flesh is the grace that lifts the spirit. You know, when we walk forward by grace in the Spirit, according to the Word of God, where do we find our faith? Where do we grow our faith? In God's Word. We grow our faith in God's Word and by walking out what we believe. When our faith is tested, that's what Charles Spurgeon would say, is that faith that is not tested is weak faith. But when our faith is tested and we choose by grace to believe the truth and walk forward in it, that is when we have real assent to living then according to the truth of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths. We thank you for the spiritual blessings that you have given to us in Christ. Forgive us for taking these spiritual blessings for granted, for not really seeing them and treasuring them for the treasure that they are, for setting them aside for the things that we treasure. Father, when we treasure you and your word, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in light of your glory and grace. And we will be able to go forward, walking in a manner worthy of the gospel, glorifying you and proclaiming the gospel with our lips and with our life. We ask you to give us the grace to do this. This is our heart's desire. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.